Okay, today's daf is Nida, daf Samach Gimel. Nida Samach Gimel, as we are in, again, the last week and a half, 2 weeks or so, of the cycle of Maseches Nida, and we will start again on Samach Beis Mabeis. Esfei Reish Lakish Lor Biochanan, towards the bottom, we just had the Machlokas between Biochanan and Reish Lakish. That's what we're discussing when there is liquid that is balua within something, and it can come out with heat, with a certain type of process. Do we say it's as if it's already considered out or not? Right? Why is it, what is this doing here? Because that's connected with our Mishnah. The Mishnah that discussed the Shiva Samanin that we use to get a Kesem out or to be Mevatel Kesem. So if there is Dam inside, do we say it's Batel or not? Do we say it could come out? That's what this Sugya has to do with Spachalokas, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So, number one, we had the discussion of our Mishnah. Number two, we had a Mishnah Maseches Ahalus. We spoke about a Raviyah's Dam that was Nivla in the floor of the house. And now we have number three, Eisbi Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. Now we ask the opposite direction. Reish Lakish has Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish who said that it is not, it is considered Yotzei, even if you're not, you don't heat the Tanur. Rabbi Yochanan says no, unless you take it out, it's not considered out. So now Reish Lakish asks Rabbi Yochanan the following question. Kala Balua, the next Mishnah there in Ahalus. Kala Balua She'enu Yocholatzeis Tahar. Any Balua that cannot come out, Tahar. That's the line of the Mishnah. Any balua that does not come out, tar. Hayachalot says, but if it can come out, tamei v'yavagad lo nafik. Mashba, that it's tamei, even if it does not come out, lo nafik. Amar of Papa, no. This is a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it has to come out. Or madai from this Mishnah, that even if it doesn't come out, as long as it could come out. Amar of Papa, kol echadein yachalot says, v'lo hikparalav, divriya kol tahor. Anywhere where it can't come out, except with a very deep process, and a person is not machmir. I mean, it doesn't bother a person. There we are called tahor. Nigga, if you have to do a lot to get it out, and it doesn't bother you that it's in there, then everybody agrees tahor. Even Reish Lakish, yachalot says the hikmat alav. If it can come out without too much bother, and a person is machmir to get it out, there we are called tamei. That everybody agree the opposite that you really want to get it out is as if it's a significant already. So tamei ki pligi to yachalot says. Below hikbet alav. The machlokas is where it can't come out without too much bother, but the person's not machmir about getting it out. It can stay there. So Mar Sava, Akiva Diyachalot says, Avagav Delo hikbet alav. One holds that since it can't come out, even though a person's not machmir on it, but it can come out, so it's considered as if it is out. That's Reish Lakish's opinion. Umar Sava, no. Avagav Diyachalot says, Rabbi Yochanan holds that even if though it can't come out, hikbet alav ini lo lo, only if he's machmir on it, then we say it is as if it's out, but not if he's not makpid on it. And this Mishnah, to answer the question, this Mishnah that Reish Lakish asked on Rabbi Yochanan, that says anything that can come out is considered out, that's only a case of makpid. Rabbi Yochanan Shita was only a case of not makpid. Good. Now we get back to the other items that were listed in the Mishnah. There were seven items that we had. The seven Samanim, which the Mishnah spoke about a few of them explicitly. The Mishnah went into what is Rok Tafel, what is Megrisin, what is Meraglayim. And then the Mishnah said you have to rub it back and forth a couple of times. So now we'll go a little more. Ezo Rok Tafel, Tana, Kol Shalotam Klum Miba Erev. Anybody that did not taste anything the night before. Miba Erev, from the night before. What does that mean, from the night before? Did somebody eat something yesterday? Does it just mean during the night? What does Miba Erev mean? Sava Rav Papa Kame de Rav Alameimar Keman de Lo Amar Lo Toamidi Beurta. When the Raisa said Miba Erev, we thought, Rav Papa thought it meant, that it means that nobody tasted anything even yesterday. Rashi, Afilu Emesh Lo Toam Klo, Miba Erev, from yesterday. Amalei Rav, no, Miktani Ba Erev, Miba Erev, from Erev, not including Erev. Miba Erev Tani, Lafuke Hecha Tekadim V'Achel. The only thing that it is excluding is if somebody woke up earlier, before the daybreak, and he woke up from his sleep and he ate something. That's the problem. If he ate something during the night. But if the whole night he didn't eat anything and he woke up and he didn't taste anything, that is already considered a Rok Tafel, that is good enough for the Braisa. Amar Rabbi Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ezel Rok Tafel, another statement, Kol She'aver Alav Chatzos Laila U'Bishena. Any person that went from Chatzos with sleep and hasn't eaten anything, so then that is considered Rok Tafel. big shaila in the Rishonim, what exactly does this mean? Chatzos laila ubishena. Does the shena have to have happened at any time during the night? Is it only at that moment of chatzos? Is it afterwards? Various opinions in the Rishonim. I'll just read you the Rambam. The Rambam in Yisurei Bia tells us that the shita is that you have to have shena after the night. In Tes, Lamed Ches, says the Rambam, Ezeu Rog Tafel, Shalotam Klum Mitchilas Halayla, you can't have eaten anything the whole night, V'haya Yashen Kol Ochatzi Halayla Ha'acharon, and the person slept the whole second half of the night, L'machar Kodam Sheyochan Nikra Rog Tafel. The next morning is called Rog Tafel. It's interesting, the Rambam says, you have to have slept the second half of the night. The Mefarshim are bothered where the Rambam gets that from. Our Gemara just sounds like you need sleep at Chatzos, not Dafka after Chatzos. That's how the Rambam says the Gemara, the Chatzi Shniyah, the Arach Laner, again, as here at Tzarech Ian, where the Rambam reads that in our Gemara. But either way, you need some part of sleep and some type of Chatzos. Interesting halacha, just to mention, comes up with a little bit of sleep in Chatzos regarding Berchas HaTorah. Right, we know if somebody's up all night, then they do not say Berchas HaTorah in the morning, because we're not sure if Berchas HaTorah, is that Mishum V? Is it Mishum a new day? Is it Mishum after having slept as a hefsik? It's a shaila in the poskim. We assume, Lamaisa, that if somebody was up the entire night, then they hear Berchas HaTorah from someone else, but they do not say Berchas HaTorah themselves. Rabbi Kiva Eger on Shulchan Aruch, though, says, if you had both, even if not overlapping, if there was some sleep, and there was some night, and there was night, said you would make Berchas HaTorah, even if they didn't overlap. For example, comes up this past year, if Shavuos is on a Friday, and one has Friday Shabbos, or actually it comes up more when Shavuos is on a Sunday. When Shavuos is on a Sunday, and then Shabbos is the day before, so then many times people would take a nap on Erev Shavuos, on Shabbos, in order to be able, right, that's what happened this year, right? Shabbos Sunday, I'm sorry, it did happen. Correct. So Shabbos Sunday, so if people, I'll take a nap Shabbos afternoon, and then I'll stay up the whole night learning on Shavuos night. So if somebody did that, then there one could say Berchas HaTorah, according to Rabbi Kivager, in Hilchos Berchas HaTorah, in Aruch Chaim. Why? Because there was sleep, and there was night. And even though they didn't overlap, as long as both of them existed, it is okay. That's Rabbi Kiva Eger. So it's a similar discussion here, based on the various opinions. What is needed to create Rog Tafel? Does one need sleep? Does one need night? Does one need it at the same time? Or at specific times? Some Rishonim say, again, you only need it at that moment of Shena. It says, Chatzos Laila Vishena. The Rambam says that, no, it had to be the second half of the night. Maybe more based on Svara. Good. Says the Gemara, Lameimra, the Bashina Talia Milsa, is that to tell me that it's dependent on sleep? V'hatanya, Yashen, Kol Hayom, Ein Zeh Rog Tafel. If somebody takes a long sleep, took a long nap during the day, that is not Rog Tafel. Neyor, Kol Halayla, Ein Zeh Rog Tafel. If he's up the entire night, that is Rog Tafel. So you see, Rog Tafel has to do with night. It doesn't have to do with sleep. Saka the Brisa say before, Rabbi Yochanan say before, that it's Chatzos Laila, Ubishena. So right, it doesn't matter though. You can sleep during the day, it's not good enough. Why? Rashi says here, interesting line, because if I eat something even in the morning, that effect is going to last the entire day. Says Rashi in the third or fourth skinny line, Avagav de Yashin Lav Tafelhu, Hol Vitam Klum, Shatoim Shachris, Nehene Kol Hayom Kulo. Somebody tastes something in the morning, then they get Hanah from that the entire day. So anyway, back to the Gemara. How could Rabbi Yochanan say that it's totally on sleep? You see, if somebody sleeps during the day, it's not Rog Tafel. So Gemara says, no, hasam, and during the night, it is Rog Tafel. So we say, hasam bimisnam name. When we say that if you're up the whole night, it is Rog Tafel, so it doesn't mean that you were mamish up the whole night. It means there was misnam name. What is misnam name? So it does not mean that he was up the entire day. He did sleep a little bit. He was misnam name. He dozed a little bit. Hechidami misnam name. What does misnam name mean? So Amar Rav Ashi, something that comes up other places as well in Shas, nim velo nim, tir velo tir. He dozed a little bit. The kari leva ani, that if somebody wasn't sleeping, but it's that state of consciousness where we are there but we're not there. If somebody calls us, we'll respond. It's a kari leva ani velo yada aduri svara, but we wouldn't be able to make logical sense. And v'chimitkri le mitkar, if somebody reminds us of something, we might remember it, but it's somewhere between being awake and being sleeping. That's good enough for this halacha in terms of creating rok tafel. Right, this comes up other places, just to quote one idea, one place. This comes up, the Gemara discusses it, and it's in Shulchan Aruch by the seder. Discussion of if somebody falls asleep. Happens sometimes. Right? The danger is to leave the seder table and to go to the couch. That's the danger. Once that happens, you know, one has to already be aware. One has to stay at the table as much as one possibly can, even if one is feeling tired. You know, leaving would usually cause problems. But the Shulchan Aruch discusses this. What happens if somebody falls asleep? Let's say somebody falls asleep in the middle of the meal. Somebody falls asleep in the middle of Maggid, whatever it is. Maggid is not as much because you didn't wash yet. What if somebody washed already and then they fall asleep? So the Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Taf Ayin Ches, Misha Yashin Betocha Seuda Veheketz. If somebody falls asleep during the meal and then he wakes up, Betocha Seuda, Eino Chozer Lechol, he does not continue eating. Why? The Mishnah Berurah explains, the Hashena Chashuva Hefsik. The sleep is here to hefsik, and it's like you ate va'asur abanan ka'ochel b'shnei makomos. It's as if you're eating in two different places when you wake up, and you can't eat in two makomos the night of the seder. So if you fall asleep during the meal, the Shulchan Aruch says, eino chozer lechol. You just read that Shulchan Aruch, we think there are problems then. Many times people fall asleep during the meal. B'nei chabura sheyashu miksasa b'doch asuda. But if the whole group, some of them fell asleep, but other people didn't, so chozer v'ochlin. Okay, so then that's okay, because as long as some people are up, then they save the day, they keep the kfiyas for the ones that fell asleep. Near the mukula v'nei erolo yachulu, they all fell asleep, so then you can't eat. Nisnamnu kulam, there's our context. What if everybody just dozed? Yochelu. So for this halach is not called a hefsik. It creates rok tafel on a lamaisa level, but it does not create a hefsek for this halacha. The Ramah then adds, importantly, the kalzeh einu ela sheyashnu la'achar sheyeschilu lechol ha'afikomen. Maybe the only problem is where they fell asleep after they started eating the afikomen. Aval sheina kodem lazeh lo ave hefsek. But sleep before that is not called eating in two places. There is, the Rosh again will explain, there could be a problem with where they have to wash again. But in terms of the continue eating, it is okay. Rasul Amar, Delo Chashinul Hefzigzek, Kivishinus Eino Batoch Afikomen. Lodim Sarkal Varach Hamotzi, Opam, Ayin Lael, Simikufay and Ches. They have to look for regular halachas of Hefzig during a Seuda. Okay, so that comes up, a Misnam name comes up. The Gemara says elsewhere that Davin HaMelech, that's all he slept, like a Shenas Sus. He only slept a little bit every night. Some people can get along without sleeping too much. That is what the Gemara says here, that creates rok tafel. Continuing, Tana Hishkim Mishana Pirko Ein Zeh Rok Tafel. Let's say somebody gets up, it doesn't eat anything, but they learn Shana Pirko. That's also no longer rok tafel. The Gemara says that speaking sweetens and makes it not tafel anymore. Ain't there roked off about kama? How much? Amar Yehuda bar Shila, Amar Vashi, Amar Velazar. Kol sheyotza rov diburo shel shalosh shos. The average amount of words that a person speaks in 3 hours, the majority of that. That's the amount of words that is mamtik, the roke, and therefore it wouldn't be called roke tafel anymore. Again, there's a certain amount of words that we speak. Chavetz Chaim writes in at least one place in his farm that we're all given a certain amount of words to say in our life. We're all given a certain amount of words, and it's up to us, you know, what we use those words for. Right here it says, you have a certain amount of words in 3 hours. Right, there's a certain amount of words in our lifespan. We should always use it, as many of the words that we can, to use it for mitzvahs and for Torah. Continuing, may grisin lisas grisin shalpul v'chulu. The next item on the list is may grisin, that is chewed up beans, and l'chora, we think this means mixed with saliva, because when you chew it up, it's mixed with saliva. So lema messiah lele reish lakish. So doesn't this prove reish lakish? Da'amar reish lakish, rok tafel, sarach shayia im kolechad ve'echad. Does this back up reish lakish, who holds that rok tafel needs to be, the rok has to be along with each one. It's not seven items. There are seven items, but each of the ones after number one have to be mixed in with the rok tafel. That's the way that it is potent in terms of a cleansing agent in order to see, again, whether it's kesem dam or whether it is a tseva. So Reish Lakish holds it has to be mixed in, so doesn't this prove? If you say May Greason is a chewed up split bean, so obviously there's saliva mixed in. So isn't that the reason why you have to mix it up and chew it? So the Gemara says, no. Dilma havla de pume mali. Maybe it's not the saliva that should be mixed in, but it is the heat, the hevel of the puma, the hevel in the mouth, which is good. But even if there is no roke, meaning even if there's roke, she ain't no tafel. Even if it's during the day, you don't have to use roke tafel. Reish Lakish says you have to use roke tafel for every mixed in. But maybe the point of this halacha, of this item, is not that it's mixed in with roke tafel, even without roke tafel, it's just the hevel in the mouth. Says the Gemara, "Masizin look Rabbi Yehuda," and this is against Rabbi Yehuda. Datan Rabbi Yehuda Omer, "May grisin roseach va'over sheyitin latocha melef." The great may grisin that you have to use. This is not quoted in the Mishnah, so that's why it's against the Mishnah. The may grisin that we have to use is roseach. It has to be boiling and va'over sheyitin latocha melef. And it's before you add salt to it. If you add salt to it, then it already ruins it. It's ma'avir, the koch of the grisin, as Rashi says. So therefore, it has to be before you add the melach. So that's over. My mashba the high over lishadak dumehu, as the Gemara says elsewhere. Not in this context. We'll get to that context in a minute. But here it says over. You have to use it before you put the melach in. Where do you ever see that over? Is lishadak dumehu, amar of nachman bar yitzchak to amar kra, vayartach ima'atz derach hakikar, vayavor es hakushi. Achimatz ran and he passed in front of the Kushi. Avar, passed in front of, so you see that means O Kodem. Abaya Amar Mehacha, Vahu Avar Lifnehem, by Yaakov Avinu. When Yaakov passed in front of them, Vahu Avar Lifnehem, he went in front of them. Vibais Ema Mehacha, and some say from here, Vayavar Malkam Lifnehem, Vashem Barosham. So again, of over meaning in front of or before. The more well-known context where we have this discussion of my mashma da high over is, as you see on the side, in Psachim and Megillah and Sota and Sukkah, that's where the sugi is over la asiyasan, where we have to make brachas before we partake of a pleasure or before we do a mitzvah. As we know, two out of the three kinds of brachas we do beforehand. Berchas ha-mitzvah and berchas hanenin, we do before we do the mitzvah, and before we get the hana'ah, mashenki, mashavach v'hodah, we make the bracha after we experience what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. Whether we saw lightning or heard thunder or went to the bathroom or ate something for Berachas HaMazon, Mashavach v'hodah is always reactionary, while mitzvah and hana'ah are always before, over la'asiyasan, before the hana'ah, over hanayasan, or over la'asiyasan of the mitzvah. Rav Soloveitchik had the beautiful diak at the beginning of the Rambam in Hilchos Brachas, where the Rambam is listing off all the different types of brachas, and when the Rambam says that you have to make the bracha before every mitzvah, the Rambam says, just like, he uses the lashon of kishem shemavarchim, he compares birchas hamitzvah and birchas hana'ah. And the question Rav Soloveitchik asks is, what's the connection between those? Birchas hamitzvah is, you make a bracha before you do the mitzvah. Birchas hana'ah, what's the difference? Birchas hana'ah, pashtus, it's a matir. As many Rishonim explain, it's a matir. And therefore, I need to make the bracha beforehand because I'm not allowed to get benefit from this world until I make a bracha. Like the Gemara says at the beginning of Ketzer Mevarchim, Lashem Haaretz Umaloa, the Haaretz Asal of Nei Adam, is the world God's, is the world Mayas? So the Gemara says, Kan Kodem HaBracha, Kan La'achar HaBracha. Before I make the bracha, it belongs to Hashem. Once I make the bracha, that's basically asking Rishus, so then I'm allowed to partake, then it becomes mine. That's the Birchas HaNehenin. It's a matir. Birchas HaMitzvah. What's the kishem? There must be a different reason why we need to make the bracha before we do the mitzvah. Why it's over la'asiyasan. Why does the Rambam use the lashon of kishem? So Rav Soloveitchik said the beautiful idea that maybe even by a Birchas HaMitzvah, it's a matir. Why? Because if you think about it, who gives us the right to do mitzvos, to try to come close to Hashem? The finite trying to come close to the infinite, to break down the barriers of universes and the qualitative abyss that's in between man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who gives us the right to try to barge in and to get close to Hashem? Oh, that's the bracha. Once I acknowledge that Hashem told me to do this, Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu, once I acknowledge that, that's the matir. That is a matir. Just like Berachas HaNehenin is a type of matir, so too Berachas HaMitzvah. It's also a matir. That's why I need to make the bracha before I do the mitzvah, because this is what creates the context, which then allows me to do the mitzvah, which ultimately will bring me closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the kishem. That's why both by Berachas HaMitzvah and by Berachas HaNehenin, there's a concept of doing it before, over la'asiyasa. Another important point is that we find sometimes that it is impossible to make a bracha over la'asiyasan. Right? We try to a lot of the time, but by a couple of mitzvahs, it's impossible. So, three that come to mind are tevila, the bracha of tevila, al ha-tevila. So, a ger cannot make a bracha before they go into the mikvah. Right? They're not Jewish yet. There, they have to make the bracha before they go into the mikvah for tevila. So, because of that, similarly, sometimes a person who's tameh, they go into the mikvah, they don't want to make the bracha when they're tameh. So that's why they need to make the bracha afterwards. So So that is why, by tefillah for sure, it's impossible, and by tumah, it's inappropriate. So that's why the minhag is to be tovel twice. Tovel once, and then make the bracha, and then be tovel again, after we are ocher, the mayim, we mush around the water, so that it's not visible in between. There's no problem of erva, in terms of the bracha. So that is one context where one cannot do the regular orval asiyasan. Another context, a similar context, is in tefillah yadayim. But in tefillah yadayim, our hands are tmeim. On a derabbanan level, there, Chazal said our hands are shnios latumah, and therefore we must wash our hands before we eat bread. And because of that, they're nachshav tumah. But the question is, we can't make a bracha then if they're nachshav tumah. So again, the Shulchan Aruch has the pshara. Well, you can't do real over lasiyasan. So therefore, what we do is we wash our hands and then we make the bracha before we dry our hands. At least during the bracha, during the mitzvah, that's better than after the mitzvah. After the mitzvah, you can't make the bracha. We don't pass it like the Arzarua. The Arzarua, as we'll get to another Arzarua later today, Bez Hashem, but two of the more well-known Arzaruas, is number one we'll get to later about Prisha Slamach Levesta, and another one is Arzarua who says that you can even make a bracha la'achar asiyasan. We don't pass in that way. We pass in that you should make the bracha before, but the Eved, you can make the bracha during. B'tochach asiyasan. See here too, by Netilas Yadayim, we make the bracha at least before the drying, because the drying is part of the mitzvah. The whole point is we're not allowed to have our hands wet when we touch the bread, so we have to dry. So we wash our hands, we make the bracha, and then we dry our hands. So we have a little bit of orval asiyasa, but again, that's an unusual case. So it happens by tefillah, it happens by tefillah shadayim, and one other one is, as many of you are thinking, by Halakas Neiros. Halakas Neiros Shabbos. That's also a problem. There is a machlokas rishonim quoted in the Shulchan Aruch in Simon Reis Samakim, Mosif Yud. Does a person accept Shabbos automatically when they light Shabbos candles? So machlokas rishonim, machlokas gaonim, the Bahag holds, the Baal halachas gedolos, kibun shehidlik ner shel Shabbos, chal alav Shabbos v'nesar b'malacha. The Bahag holds, it's automatic. Right, one lights candles, so then, what is Shabbos? Within the Bahag shita is a machlokas whether you're allowed to make a tanai. Yesh omrim shemasa kodem shetavlik sheinu makabel Shabbos at shiomer achazin baruchu moel. The yesh omrim sheinu moela. So first day is the Bahag that you accept Shabbos automatically. Within the Bahag are two deos whether a Tanai works. The Yesh, Chokin al Bahalachas Gedolos, and some just argue on the Bahag totally, says the Shulchan Aruch, V'omrim, She'en Kabbalah Shabbos, Tali Bahalachas Haner, Ela B'tfilas Arvis, it's not Tali on lighting, Kivan Shomer Achazin, Baruch Lo Kol Parshim Imalachtam. So therefore, there's a Chilk, Machlokes, Bahag and other Gaonim, and the Machlokas within the Bahag. That is the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Ramah, the Haminog, Sha'osa Isha, Hamadlekes, Mekabela Shabbos, Pavlakasa, Imoshe Tasa Tchilo. The Minog is that a woman accepts Shabbos automatically. Does a Tanai work? A Tanai shouldn't be done. Usually, once in a while, Poskim might say once or twice a year, it could help, but we try to be machmer l'chadchila at least, to, like the Bahag, no t'nai shita. But the Ramah says, women accept. What do you mean, women? It's a chil between men and women. The Mishnah Berurah, the Magen Avraham explains that men do not accept Shabbos with their lighting because the assumption is they're going to daven mincha afterwards. Women do. Women should daven mincha before they light, if possible. But that is the halacha. So the problem is, what do you do by halachas neiros Shabbos? Woman lights candles. She's going to make the bracha. Boom. She says the words, the halachas neiros Shabbos. So that is Shabbos first. You can't light the candles anymore. So that is why the minhag of women is to first, and this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, first to light the candles, then to cover their eyes immediately without getting hana from the candles. So it's as if they did not light the candles yet. Say the bracha of Hadar Ner Shel Shabbos, then open their eyes. They could say a special tefillah also for banim. Then open their eyes and look at the candles. They shouldn't just say good Shabbos and walk away. The point is that the reason they close their eyes, many times women don't realize what they're doing with the covering the candles and the waving. I don't know exactly where that comes from, but at least covering their eyes is to get a little bit of overlasiyasan, an alki'ilu overlasiyasan, by covering their eyes as if they didn't light the candles, then uncovering their eyes and looking at the candles, getting hana from the candles, in that way, getting a little bit of over la'asi yasan. So that is the minug of women. Men, the Boskim point out, should just light the candles straight. Should make the bracha and light the candles, regular over la'asi yasan, because men do not accept Shabbos with their lighting. Big discussion in the Achronim, what about Yontif? What about Yontif? The mother of the Drisha. The mother of the Drisha and the Prisha. The Drisha and the Prisha, same person, same author as the Sma on Choshen Mishpat. So the Drisha writes in his Akdamah to Yeridaya that his mother had two ha'aras, and one of them is that on Yontif night, women could light fire on Yontif. So women should make the bracha first, and then light candles. That's what the mother of the preacher does. Major discussion in the Achronim. Should women do that? Are they going to get confused with Shabbos and Yontif or not? So many Achronim say, if a woman is a chachamah, if she could handle it, then she should switch. But if a woman feels, I don't have confidence, I don't want to play around, we're playing around with these very skila here, right? Lighting to the afterwards. So therefore, a woman can do whatever she's more comfortable with in terms of lighting. But again, that's a third context where we don't have a regular overlas yasan. We have halakas neir Shabbos, we have netilas yadayim, and we have tevila. Okay? Now we continue. Says the Gemara, Mei Raglayim Shehechmitsu Tanas. The Mishnah said that Mei Raglayim that became putrid, that is one of the seven. So Tana, Kama Chimutzan Shlosha Yamim. How many days do you have to leave it while it putrefies? 3 days. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Shirei Chachamim B'Ksamim Tzorach Shir L'Shiuran. All the Shirim that Chachamim gave regarding Samim, difficult to know exactly what exactly is meant by Chazal. You saw a shir l'shiu run. What does that mean? De'yelad or de'zaken? Is it the meraglayim of a young boy, or is it the meraglayim of a zaken? De'ish or de'isha? Mechusim or megulim? Is it covered or revealed? B'mosacham or b'mosakshamim? Different, the meraglayim is affected differently in the hot weather or the warm weather. So, Rabbi Yochanan just points out that it's unclear to know. Rashi, by each of these, describes which one is more potent and which is effective. Rashi says that a zakeid is more potent, and mechusa is more potent, and b'mosacham are more potent. The Rambam, interestingly, does not quote any of these ibayas. The Aruch Laner leaves it, explains, because he must... Not me, that he doesn't know exactly which one is better than the other one. So the Rambam just leaves it out. The question of being machmir, but just leaves it out, and he does not mention what is meant. Next, v'tzorach l'chascheis shalosh pa'amim. One has to scrub them 3 times each, as we said. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiya, amtuye va'asuye chad, odilma amtuye va'asuye tarti. Going back and forth, is that one or is that two? How do you count back and forth? So, my take was, meaning, do you have to go back, forth, back? That's 3. Or back, forth, back, forth, back, forth? Is that 3? So, teku, unanswered. Ha'avir and shalok kesitron. The Mishnah ends off by saying, if we are ma'avir, the samanin, not in order, they don't work. Tan rabanan. So, what does that mean, not in order? Hikdim, shniim, larishonim. What if you do the second set before the first set? The Shni and Larishonim, meaning the Mishnah has 2 different sets. Shni and Larishonim. Neser, Uboris, Kamunya, Ve'eshlong. Those are the last ones. What if you do that before the rope, Tafel, Megris, the Meraglayim? You keep the order of the 3 and the 4, but you do the 4 before the 3. So, Tani Chada, Shniim Alulo, Rishonim Lo Alulo. So, one Brisa says, Shniim, what he applied second. Shniim, what he applied second, meaning the first 3, which he applied second, that counts. Rishonim lo alulo, the first one doesn't. Fatanya idach, Rishonim alulo, Shniim lo alulo. We have another Braisa that says just the opposite. So Amar Abaya, Abaya says no, the Braisas are saying the same thing, really. Amar Abaya, idi v'idi, Shniim alulo v'lo Rishonim. Both Braisas are saying that the Shniim, the second ones that he applied, meaning the first 3 that worked, meaning it's as if you applied the first 3, now you have to apply the next 4 afterwards. Umay Rishonim, what does it mean, Rishonim, that they were alulo, Rishonim l'kisidron, ushniim l'havarasan. It means Rishonim in the, what you should have been ma'avir first, those are the ones that worked, even though shniim l'havarasan, the second one that you actually applied, but the first ones that you should have applied, those are the ones that work, and the other ones do not. Okay, there we get into the world of Vestos. We've discussed Ksamim up until now, the past couple of Daf. Remember, for the beginning of the previous Parak, that's where Ksamim really started, beginning of Aruah Kesem, Adaf Nun Zayin, and then we got into Ksamim that a woman sees during her Meraglayim. And then we got into how do you get rid of Ksamim or test Ksamim. So we've just had 5 or 6 plot, all regarding Ksamim. Nun Zayin through right here on Daf Sama Gimel. Now we start the world of Vestos. The next 2 blot are all about Vestos, says the Mishnah. Kalisha, we discussed earlier in the Masechta, we had whether this concept is d'oraisa or d'rabanan. That we had Vestos d'oraisa, Vestos d'rabanan, l'may nafkamina. If a vest comes, if the projected time period for a woman to have her period comes, and she does not check, do we assume orech bizmano ba, that it happened and she didn't notice, and now if she checks, she doesn't find, it doesn't help, or not? So that is the nafkamina that the Gemara suggests, but for Vestos d'oraisa, Vestos d'rabanan. But remember, then we had Reb Chaim, we had others who explained what does that mean. The Noda Behuda discussed what exactly is does it mean. Vestos Daraisa Darabana. We're not going to review that now. But now the Vestos come up. There are various types of Vestos. Just as a background, the three Vestos that generally a woman is choshish for bisman hazeh, assuming she does not have a vest haguf. A vest kavua. Most women bisman hazeh do not have set Vestos, meaning a 32-day vest or a 28-day vest. Most women see, you know, different fluctuates, up, down. Because of that, most women have to be choshesh for the three vestos. We discussed this back in the first parak also. Number one, vesta chodesh, whatever day of the Hebrew calendar she sees, she has to be choshesh the following month. She sees on the fifth day of the month. So then this of Av, she has to wait the fifth day of the month of Elul, next month. Number one, the chodesh. Number two, the haflaga, the interval, whatever the interval was based on the previous two re'ios. She has a 29-day interval. She has to count 29 days for the next time. How do you calculate an interval? You count both the day of Re'iyah and the day of projection. Meaning the day that the woman started her period is day one. And then she counts, and the day that she has her next period is the last day to count. But you count both of those days. And that's how you figure out the haflaga, the interval in between. And then the hafchodesh and the haflaga, and finally, we count the onabeninus, which is the average. Rov HaPoskim assume that is day 30, the Chavos Das assume it is day 31. Some say you have to count both, some say just 30. Either way, that was what we discussed back in the first parak, where the phrase onabeninus came up in a different context, and therefore that was on Daf Tesim Abeis. We had onabeninus Shloshim Yom, we discussed there, the Shevet HaLevi, who says to be choshesh for both, others say only choshesh for 30. That was the discussion then. So those are the three that a woman counts. There are, though, other uncommon vestos that the Gemara talks about. The Mishnah is going to have right here, well, first let's read the first line. Kol she'isha she'ish la vest, daya shaita. Any woman who has any type of vest, so we assume this is the normal time, the expected time that it came out, so daya shaita. So we don't go backwards in time, that like was described with the Tanam at the beginning of the Masech. Though we say, no, daya shaita, right now, we're not metami l'mafreya, any taras, that she was osekasin. Daya shaita. Ve'eloina vestus. These are the vestos. So the Mishnah does not say the more common vestos. It says uncommon vestos, and we start off talking about vestos haguf, vestos of the body, meaning this type of vest is where there is a certain simen that occurs in a woman's body, and she knows, and it's been established, that simen in the body tips us off that her period is here, or the second before, or a certain amount of time, always equally before. Ve'elena vestos. So mifa hekes. If a woman is mifa hekes, what does mifa hekes mean? So different pshatim. Rashi says, it gives a laz word, where it says on the side, adam sheposhet evarav. Somebody, she's always stretching. Mifa hekes. Tosa says, different pshatim, mifa hekes. Tosa says, mifa hekes is pihek, yawning. The Rush says, elu ve'elu. The Rush says, elu ve'elu, you can count both of them. Whether a woman has any type of reaction to the period, mifahekes, me'ateshes, sneezing. A woman has sneezing spells. This does not mean without any say there. She has these type of vestaguf, and there is a direct correlation between the moment that she has the re'iyah and these spells. V'choshesh b'fi kresa, she feels heavy in her lower abdomen. U'b'shipule me'eha, v'shofa'as. We'll have to see in the Gemara what that means. What is shofat? That she's having a flow. Ukemin semar moros ochazenosa. She gets a type of shivers or a fever. V'chein kayotze bahen. Or similar. We'll have to see what that is. All of these. V'chok shakava la shlosha pa'amim. If any of these are nikva three times, like we paskin, chazaka is three times. Hare ze veses. This is a vest. Just one ha'ara on sneezing. Once it comes up. Me'atashes. We know that when someone sneezes, we say, God bless you. Say, God bless you. Labriyut. Asuta. The Gemara in Brachas talks about, could you say that in the middle of learning? Is that called Bittul Torah? We mentioned in a parsha here a couple of years ago that it used to be that people used to sneeze and then they used to die. That's why we say God bless you or La Briut, because in the olden days, very olden days, that's what happened. Who was the first person for this not to happen to? Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu says the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. This is Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer in Perakim and Beis. It's also quoted in the Chizkuni in Parshas Vayechi on Yaakov's deathbed in Perakim Ches Pasuk Aleph. Vayehi Achar Dvar Ma'ela. Yaakov gets sick. Hine avicha choleh. Says the Chizkuni, quoting the Pirkei Derabbi Elazar. Miyom shenivru shamayim va'aretz lo haya adam otesh v'chaya michalyo. Nobody ever sneezed and lived. Ela b'chamakom shahaya obaderach obashuk v'haya otesh haya nafsho yotzah. Wherever he was, they sneezed, that was it. They died. Until Yaakov Avinu came and asked for Rachmanis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let somebody be mitzavah his beso. Let somebody have some warning. Amru lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Al tikach nafshi mimeni, ad she'atzaveh el beisi et bini ve'et bnei bani. V'hineh atah lo. Hashem says, okay. Shenemar v'yichi acharad v'meili. It's the first one who got sick before he died. Lefichach. Chayev Adam b'shas itusho lahodos l'Hakadosh Baruch Hu shenefach mimavas l'chayev. Interestingly, the language of the Pirkei Derabbi Elazar is that the person who sneezed himself should give a hoda'ah. Thank you, Hashem, for keeping me alive through this sneeze. Chayev Adam b'shas itusho. Our the custom of the world is for everybody else to say l'chayim, or l'chayim, or olivriyut. But the Pirkei Derabbi Elazar says that it's the person himself. Interesting. Sometimes we don't know where everything comes from. The minhag of saying l'chayim by wine. Also, the Mefarshim point out that's because, according to one opinion, the Eitz Hadas was an ovim, and that brought Misa to the world. So that's why we say l'chayim. This wine should be l'chayim. This wine should be in the context of proper avodas Hashem. Okay. The Rashba here. Oh, important comment of the Rashba, and then we'll get into the Gemara. The Rashba here says that we should be careful to be machalik between all these vestas quoted in the Mishnah, which are called vestos haguf, versus other examples like jumping or scared or any of those. Those are vestos ones. Those are external reasons versus simanim, reflections that the re'iyah has come. There's a big difference between those, says the Rashba. Pirish. Imrasa gimel pamim aydei piyako aydei itush beiza yom shetafayko aydei yom shetisatesh kava laves. If on three Sundays in three consecutive months in a row and she sneezes, she has the re'iyah, that's koveya. Lepiyako le'itush. Klomar kozman shetafayko tisatesh chosesh levesta. V'yaf alpi sheshaninu. And even though we learned earlier, kol shetekvena machbas oni zevil kava pamim lo kava ves, we had the Gemara earlier by jumping, that some Rishonim said, you can never be koveya ves for jumping. Hasam hu she'eino roe, ela machmas ones, shehi misaveves meritzona. That's something that she does willingly, she brings upon herself. Kagon, kafso rasa, oh, shekiskas a pilpulin, she eats pepper, she eats some type of spicy food for rasa. That should not be confused with vestos aguf. Vestos aguf are natural actions or reactions that the body has to the period. Sneezing, coughing, pain, v'chulu. That's not the same as a ves machmas ones, which is any type of external stimuli, even if I bring it upon myself, if I jump, if I eat spicy food, if I'm scared, something like that. That is very different, and that, Ella, that is not, does not cause a ves to come. Avakan adaraba, b'mikram elu, eino ba'in ela machmas avest. Do these actions bring the vest? Machmas ones, those ones causes the vest? Here, the vest causes these things. Just the opposite. Very important comment of the Rashba, the machali between Vesta Ones and Vestas Haguf, quoted here in our Mishnah. Good. Says the Gemara, Tanina Chadazimna, the first line of the Mishnah is a repetition. We already had earlier the first Mishnah of the Masechta. Kalisha Sheish La Vest, Dayashaita. If a woman has a vest, the vest Kavua, so then Dayashaita. Then she doesn't go back in time. So the Gemara says, no, Hasam Bevestas to Yome, Hacha Bevestas to Gufa. There it's days, right? Tesvav, Rashi says Tesvav to Tesvav. Oh, and here's Vestas to Guf, Kidiktani, Elo in Vestos, Haisam of the Heka Sumateshes, Vachoshes, Vikresa, Ubishipuleme Eha, Vishofas, right? All of them listed, right? So that's why there's different context. The Gemara says, Shofas, Hashafa Vazla. What do you mean Shofas? And she's flowing. By all of them, she has a flow. By all of them, she has a Re'iyah. So, Amar Ula Berei de Rabbi Loi, Vishofa'as Dam Tameh Mitoch Dam Tahar. The case is, Shofa'as, she has Dam Tameh Mitoch Dam Tahar. Meaning, she could even be Kovei Avest, that she always sees Dam Tahar. Dam Tahar here doesn't mean Dam Tohar, but Dam Tahar. Meaning, she has a type of Re'iyah that's not one of the five problematic colors listed earlier in Daf Yates in the Mishnah. No. So what? She's going to be Kovei Avest, where she always starts off with a non-problematic, and then she has problematic. So when she has the non-problematic, you know the problematic is coming too. That is enough to be Kovei. That's Shofas. That's the case alluded to when we say Shofas. I saw in the Chazuke Chemed, he has a discussion of a tangential point, but it has to do with the name in our Gemara. There was a couple, She'ela, Melamed Bekita Toranit, Liladim. There was a couple that went for a parent-teacher conference. And they went to the school, and they met the Rebbe. And when the Rebbe says, what's the name of the son? What's your son's name again? So the father says, Eloi, Aleph Yud Lamed Ayin Yud, Eloi. And the father said, we named him after Rebbe Eloi. Right, he's about Rabbi Eloi, Aviv Shabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi, the father of Yehuda Bar Eloi, that's what we named him after. And the mother, all of a sudden, at the parent-teacher conferences, says, what are you talking about? That's not why we named him Eloi with an Aleph, we named him Eloi with an Ayin. Ayin Yud Lamed Aleph Yud. Why? Because Eloi means to go up, and Malin, and we like the Aramaic. And the father says, that's the first time, the father says to the husband, says to the wife, that's the first time I've ever heard you say such a thing. I never realized that. He said, no, I always call them Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi because of the Tana. And the wife says, no, it's Eloi because Elo, La Elo, La Elo. So the Amarti Lahorim says Rav Silverstein, when the story was told to him by the teacher, there's a nafkamina. How do you write it? What are you going to write in the ksuba? What are you going to write? Vachulu vachulu. So he says, well, you can't say it was just named after a Tana because look in Nida Sama Gimel. Even Eloi with an ayin is the name of someone in the Amor, in the Gemara. Amar Ula, Vrede Rabbi Eloi. So you can't say only Rav Yehuda Bar Eloi is in the Gemara with an aleph, even Eloi with an ayin. So he goes through, well, let's say it was a machlokas and there were different kavanis with the name. So, says Rav Zilberstein, Kamo Kain, there are certain types of children that the father has zechuyos, gam lo aviv, gam lo imo, yeshchus, like roshim lo banam. The Rishonim talk about this in Parashas Vayeshev, when the Yehuda and his wives, Er, Onan, Oshela, all those, if you're medaik, one says, some say Vatikra, some says Vayikra, Kamo Shavatina Batorah, Shelofamim Hanashim Karu at Hashemot, Velofamim Abot Karu. Ubinyamin, the mother called him Ben Oni, the father called him Binyamin. Right, Vachula, and we find this various places. That's why he quotes that by Shela, it says Vatikra Shmo Shela, because, and it says Yehuda was in Ksiv, because if Yehuda had been there, it would have been his right. Even Lamaisa says, Rav Zilberstein, Ach, Mikivan Shekahayom, Haminak Shekarim Shem Babris, the minhag is to call the name at the bris, and the father is the one who does the Kriya Shem, or appoints the person to do the Kriya Shem. So Mistama, you go by the father's das, and it would be Eloi with an Aleph. And he will be the name as Rabbi Yehuda's father, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi. Okay, so Ula in the Breda, Rabbi Eloi, makes it to a halacha lamaisa shayla. Good, we continue. Says the Gemara, top of Talmud Beis, ukemin tzimar moros, or she has a type of fever, and anything like it, v'chen kayotzi bohen, what's included in that, lasuyemai, what's that including? Amar Rabba Bar Ula, la asuye isha sheroshak kaved aleha, a woman who gets headaches, her head feels heavy, ve'ivara kvedim aleha, or her limbs feel heavy, virosasas, vigosa. And she starts shaking and trembling. Vigosa, Rashi says, blyer, which is the French word for yawning. Okay, any of these are included. Right? Rashi says yawning, because Rashi said yawning wasn't included earlier. Tosfos, who says yawning was included earlier, but in that case, we have to give a different shot of what gosa is. Okay. Amar Avuna Barchiya Amar Shmuel, Hare Yamru, Liyamim Shnayim, Levestos Achas, Lamash Lamanu Chachamim Shlosha. What does that mean? So Liyamim Shnayim. So for vestos of Yamim, though twice is enough of Veveset, right? It's like a court like Rebbe. Rebbe or Shmuel Gamliel argue what's a chazaka in general, two or three times. So this Shmuel is going like Rebbe. So Liyamim Shnayim, Levestos Achas. For these vestos haguf that we have in our Mishnah, one time is enough. Lamash Lamanu Chachamim, what's the Chachamim did not list Shlosha. Those, that needs three. So what is that? Lamash Lamana Chacham Lasuyemai, what's that including? Amar Rav Yosef, that's including what's not explicit in the Mishnah. Lasuyei Rosha Kaved Aleha, Vevar Kaved Aleha, Verosases Vegosa, exactly what we just included in the Mishnah, but they have different halachas exactly in the ones in the Mishnah. That's not as Machriya, and therefore that will require three. Amar Leah Baya, my Kamash Malon Masisani. We know these halachas because already it was included up above from Rabbi Bar Ula. He already included it. So, Ela Amar Abaya, so change what we include. La Asuye, this is what's really included. Achla Shum Virasa, Achla Bitsalam Virasa, Ksasa Pilpalim Virasa. If she ate a spicy food. She ate a spicy food, so is that koveya veses. If she ate garlic, and she ate bitsalim, and she ate pilpulin, and she ate if she ate pepper. So there's a big shayla. We mentioned this machlokas earlier as well in the Shulchan Aruch and Kuf Pei Tes Chaf Gimel. Shulchan Aruch discusses: does this kvias veses for sharp foods? Does that work even without days? Does that work even without days? The Shulchan Aruch says, "Kol elu avesel shenikva ma'idei mikra, ein echad koveim chaveru el kol shepia kashol shepamim v'rosa kovaveses." I'm a piyaka pamachas, but it's not shepiyapamim imitzarfin. So you have to have the first of all, you have to have the same simen, says the Shulchan Aruch. Hagah, but the Rama says, "Achla shum v'rosa, achla basa v'rosa, achla pilvan v'rosa." If you ate three different types of spicy foods, like our Gemara says, "Yesh omrim." Some say that even if you have various spicy foods, that could all be kovei aveses for spicy foods. The yesh omrim, no. Shekol ma shetirai de maicho, dita kol ma shetirai de kfitza. V'shar maisa, shehu ose, shemikir ri'i de ones, and it's only kovei aveses with yamim. So, it'd be the discussion whether this could work even without days. And also, the Shulchan Aruch quotes there that you don't even need the same spicy food. Just spicy foods in general can cause the vest. Good. That's shum, bitsalam, and pilpulin. Continuing. Amar Rav Yosef, lo shami liash maitza. Wow. I never heard that statement that Shmuel said before. That yamim shnat, yamim echad, and vestos shnayim v'chulu. So amalei, Abaya, as Abaya says, and we had it earlier, Rav Yosef, atamar nielon, you were the one that taught it to us. V'yaham rita nielon. And it was on the following, which is the following Mishnah, later on in the Yomud. Haysan limud li osra yom chamisha asar. V'shin shal yom esrim zevaz asar. And she had a vest for day 15. As we're going to see, that means day 15 from her tefillah. V'shinsa liyom esrim zeh v'zeh asurin. Shalosh pa'amim liyom esrim. But once you switch 3 days to yom esrim, huta yom chamisha asar v'kabal lo yom esrim. But once you switch 3 times, you switch the ves kabua 3 times, then you uproot the previous one, and you're only choshish for the last one. She'ein isha kovas la ves asher tekevena shalosh pa'amim. Because a woman is only kovei a ves 3 times. V'amayt lan Allah. And you, Rav Yosef, told us regarding that Mishnah, I'm Rav Yudam HaShmuel, Zudiv Rebbe Gamliel Bar Rebbe, Shamrim Shem Shem Gamliel. This is what Rebbe Shem Gamliel holds. 3 times. Avach HaChamim Omrim, but the HaChamim say, who hold like Rebbe, Rasa, Ein Atzricha, Lo Lashanos, Velo Lashalosh. You don't need 2 or 3. V'yamrina Lachal, Lashanos Amar Lon, Lashanos Miboy. What does that mean? You don't need 2 or 3 times. If you don't need 2, for sure you don't need 3 times. V'yamart Glon, and you explain to us, Lashanos Bevestos, Lashalosh Biyamim. For a vest, you don't need more, you don't need 2. And for Yamim, you don't need more than 2. Lashalosh Biyamim. So, vest there means vest is a goof, as we said. So, Rav Yosef, you were the one that told it to us. V'zeim Azu Diver Rashbag. Why don't we just say this is the words of Rav Shimon Gamliel? Why do we have to quote, this is the name of Gamliel Bar Rebbe, the name of Rav Shimon Gamliel? Rav Shimon Gamliel is the Tana that holds 2 as a chazaka. Hakamash Malan, Shmuel, Derebbe Gamliel, Bar Rebbe, Rav Shimon Gamliel Sfirlei. Shmuel is just telling us that there's another Tana out there that holds like him. So therefore, he says it in his name. You might also say, Homer Davar B'Shem Amro, maybe Gula La'olam. Why didn't the Gemara give that reason? So that, I think we've touched on in the past, the big discussion. When we say, maybe Gula La'olam, do you only have to say the ultimate source of the statement, or do you have to go through the whole line? So in Shas, generally, we assume you go through the whole line, because sometimes the Gemara will say, Amar of this, Amar of that, Amar of that, Amar of that, like 5 different people in a row. But that is a discussion in the Achronim, so maybe this Gemara implicitly is a Raya, that you only have to say the original source. Because the Gemara could have given that answer. Why do you say the middleman? Because that's also maybe Gulul Olam. The fact that the Gemara does not say that means maybe only the original source is maybe Gulul Olam. Okay, we continue. Says the next Mishnah, if a woman is lamud, she's habitually seeing at the beginning of her vest, so we assume that it occurred again, and any tarot that she touched after that tchila is tmeya. Bisof avestos, if she's habitually sees at the end of the time period that she's worried about, kolatara shasa betoch avestos taurus. If you don't know, you can be matar all the ones in the middle. Rabbi Yosi Omer af yamim v'shaos vestos. Days and hours, even hours, can be vestos. We'll see in the Gemara what that means. Stop there. Let's continue first. Haisalim udolios roe ima neitzacham. If a woman always sees right with neitzachama, ena asur ima neitzachama. She's only asur with neitzachama. At that moment, she has to be worried. Rabbi Huda omer kol hayom shalar. Rabbi Huda says no. The entire day. We'll have to see what that means. Kol hayom shalar. Right? Does that mean? Right? Rabbi Huda says the Rashi already foreshadows. Muteres l'shamish mishaavar neitzachama v'lo rasa v'kol alayla shalafnei neitz shalvest asur l'shamish. Where I was going to say, how is Rabbi Huda understanding what the im ha-neitz ha-chama means. Interesting discussion I saw in the Ma'oras HaDaf, one of the sheets put out related to the Daf, in terms of hours. What is the source of an hour being 60 minutes? Is there a Jewish source? That is astronomy. They quote Yonasan Ibishitz in one of his Svarim, who says the hour was the invention of ancient astronomers. Ancient astronomers. It talks about the Chakiros that Bezenef has to ask, Edim. So he says the Chakira of which hour did the event take place is not Ma'akev. What's Ma'akev is which side of the sky was the sun on, meaning was it before noon or afternoon? That could be asked. But the hours itself does not have a Jewish source. Because the Ar Sameach also says this in Hilchos Eidos. The 12 hours are not learned from a pasuk or from Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, but it should be, it's not specific, that's the concept of an hour. Interesting. The Pnei Yoshua, also quote that from the Kuntres, one of the Kuntres Achrons, he says that that which we divide the day into 24 hours, we haven't found explicitly in the Torah, as it seems from the simple meaning of the Psukim, that day and night are only divided into 12 hours, which means you'd split each day and each night respectively into 6 hours. There'll be longer hours. Interesting, that's what many Achronim say, but they quote in the Chazonish assumes that no, the Chazonish says 24 hours is part of the Torah. Interesting discussion. The Chazonish bases it on as how long we know a month is. We know a month is 12, 24, 29 days, 12 hours, 44 minutes, and a certain number of halakim, 793 halakim, that all takes into account hours. Anyway, that's an interesting Torah and just general discussion where the hours came from. Okay, Tana, Ketza, it says the Gemara. Ketzad, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Yamim and Shaos Vestos. What does that mean? That Rabbi Yossi holds that Yamim and Shaos are Vestos. What does the Mishnah mean? As follows. Haisli Mudalios Roe, Mi Yom Astrim, Liom Astrim. If she always has a 20-day interval, Umi Sheshos, Lashay Shaos, and the 6th hour, Yeah, Yom Astrim, Velo Rasa, Asur Lashaymish, Kol Sheshos, Rishonos, Dev Rabbi Yehuda. If she always see, Rabbi Yehuda says, she's not allowed to be, they have to be Poresh, which we'll get to the halacha soon about Prisha Samach Lavesta. The vest is, you have to be worried about the first previous prior 6 hours, says Rabbi Yehuda. Like he said in the Mishnah, Kol Hayom Shalah. Rabbi Yossi Mat Ashe Shos. Rabbi Yossi says, no, and only at that moment. She always sees that day, hour 6, so you have to be worried at hour 6. Everything up to that time is mutter. That hour is Asur. Avru Sheshos V'lo Rasa. Asur L'Shamish Kalayam Kula. Rabbi Yehuda. Again, Rabbi Yehuda says, once that passes, Rabbi Yehuda says, you have to be worried about the rest of the time period. Rabbi Yehuda says, you don't go by moments. You go by Onos, which we'll see is 12-hour or days or nights. Rabbi Yossi Matam and Mechol Amal. Rabbi Yossi says, no, once the sixth hour passes, so then one can be Mekel. Good. Haisali Muda. Vatan Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kol HaLayla Shalah. Rabbi Yehuda says, what do you mean? We have another Bryce that says, Kol HaLayla Shalah. How can Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah say, Kol HaYom Shalah? So lo kasha. No, two different cases. Hadar Gila Liras Betchilas Yamama. Hadar Gila Liras Besof Lelia. If a woman always sees right before Nates, meaning the end of the night, so Rabbi Yehuda says the entire night is Aser. If she sees at the beginning of the day, the entire day is Aser. And that's, as we'll see, what we paskin. Tani chada Rabbi Yehuda Ostro lefnei Vesto matir lacha Vesta. One Brisa says Rabbi Yehuda Aser is before and matir is after. Vatanya idach Ostro lacha Vesto matir lefnei Vesta. Then you have the opposite. So the same thing. Velokasha adrigil lewis lemechzi besof lelia adrigil lemechzi betchilas yamama. If she sees at the end of the night, then it's Aser before her vest. If she sees at the beginning of the day, it's Aser after her vest. Amar Rava halacha Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha Rabbi Yehuda that you don't go by moments, you go by periods of time, either the day or the night, as the Shulchan Aruch quotes, as we know, that whenever you're choshesh for a vest, it's either a day or a night. Miyama Rava Haki, does Rava really say that Rabbi Yehuda said, you have the halacha like Rabbi Yehuda? V'hatanya, but we learned in a brisa, appears a few places, v'hizartim is bnei Yisrael mitumasam. Bnei Yisrael should become tar from their tumah. Totally not talking about our context, but we darshan. Mikan, Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Azhara lebnei Yisrael, sheyefrushun minishosein samach levestan. It's an Azhara for bnei Yisrael to be porish from their wives, samach levestan, meaning at the time of the vest that they're expecting the period. It's based on a pasuk that a husband and a wife have to be porish at that time when they are choshesh. Major machlokas rishonim, is this Prisha d'oraisa or d'rabanan? The Rashba, the Ritva, the Ran all assume it's d'rabanan, because after all you find some heterim built in. The Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Samach Bey says Yotzi Laderach, if a man's going out on a trip. So even the night before, if it's a vest, the husband and the wife can be together. So it has to be d'rabanan. Others Baalei Tosfos, others say no, it's d'oraisa. It's a special dinah. Kadosh Baruch Hu says if somebody's being Yotzi Laderach, special haftacha from Kadosh Baruch Hu that there's not going to be any problems. But either way, major machlokas we showing him whether this is an asmachta or a real
Yo Limud. Vikama, let's continue for a minute. Bnei ought to be parish, Vikama, Amarava, Ona. My love, Ona Chrisi. Isn't it an Ona? So my love, Ona Chrisi doesn't mean an extra Ona. My love, Ona Chrisi. So lo, Osa Ona, that Ona. Meaning like Rabbi Yehuda. Vitarti Lamali. So what do you need? Both. What do you need two statements for Rava to tell me how much an Ona is and also say Halacha Rabbi Yehuda? Sricha. Diashmina and Hava Ha. If I only had the first one, Hava Mina Hanamilu Taris. Hava Labaila Lo. If I only had the first statement Halacha like Rabbi Yehuda, I would have thought maybe only Lataris is like Rabbi Yehuda. But Labaila we could be Mako. Kamash Malon. Vimea Hui. Hava Mina Slavak Lavesta. Ona Achrisi. If you only had that statement, I would have thought, oh, okay, but it means an extra Ona. Kamash Malon Osa Ona. Kamash Malon only that Ona. Okay, we'll have to stop here. We'll start tomorrow with Hashem with the Arzarua. Well known in Hilchas Nida, the Chumra of the Arzarua, which seems to be beferish against this Gemara. This Gemara seems to say explicitly that one Ona, not two Onos, and comes along the Arzarua and turns everything on its head and says, an extra Ona, the Arzarua is not quoted in Shulchan Aruch, we'll talk about it tomorrow, but it is the Minhag of some to follow the Chumra of the vest of the Arzarua. So we'll start with that, Baruch Hashem, and then we will continue with the next Mishnah as we get close to the Siyam, Baruch Hashem, the major Siyam, the big Siyam next Wednesday night, and Baruch Hashem, our Siyam that we'll have in Tinek again next Thursday night, starting at 7:30 Mincha, and then we'll have a Siyam and send Divrei Torah with the Sudas Mitzvah, followed by the Shir on Brachos Daf Beis. The first Shir on the next cycle will be given there, right after the Suda. Brachos Daf Beis will be given next Thursday night.